Brian, it's just another great weather night here, maybe even a little too warm.
Yeah, I tell you, for us, it's nice and comfortable. I'm sure the players wouldn't mind it being another 15 degrees colder, but beautiful night. The field looks great. Got the big Vandy V there painted on the midfield. Who knows, maybe that V will be for victory tonight for them.
And the fans would love to see it. Maybe, you know, the homecoming night crowd, generally one of the biggest crowds you'll have all year. So they're, I think they'd love to put on a show for these home crowd fans. Big homecoming parade tonight. Tell you what, the food smells good. Thanks again to Vandercook Lake for the bag of popcorn. Something about having a bag of popcorn at a high school football game on a beautiful night like tonight. Now, temperature-wise, we were in the mid-80s today. It still feels almost the same as it did earlier today. I'm sure it's a few degrees cooler, but night like this, I start worrying about when you see somebody with a leg injury or a limp, cramp. I always think cramp right away on a night like tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, Steve, that really can come into play because, you know, look down at Vandercook's bench right now. I see maybe 8 guys that will be on the bench, and I know Napoleon's a little thin this year too.
Right.
And so you got guys that are going to be playing both ways, and the heat can be a factor. So who knows, maybe, you know, the better conditioned team tonight will have a big advantage.
Yeah, that's definitely going to come into play because depth is an issue. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Again, huddling up here on the sidelines, just about ready to get things started up here as we move towards 7 o'clock on K105.3 WKHM FM, HD1, Brooklyn Jackson. And we are, I'm excited to get some high school football underway. Kind of, are they letting the last few seconds tick off of that pregame timer? So we'll bring in the kickoff here momentarily. Again, first quarter brought to you by Minute Man Sewer and Drain Cleaning.
Well, they got to get in their last little bits of music. They've been pumping through the PA. Been enjoying some anywhere from Post Malone to the Village people.
Yeah, I heard The Who a little earlier. They had some really good stuff mixed in here. YMCA, one of our high school football sponsors, also a Village People song. So that's had a pretty good mix.
I stood up and danced a little bit.
I saw you.
Yeah.
You're bad at spelling. But
YCMA, right?
And the team's now out on the field and lined up, and it looks like the home field Jayhawks will kick off tonight. And back to return for Napoleon, you see Tyler Owen, who's been an important offensive player for them, and Tyler Schneider also. And you see him carry the football a few times on offense. He's one of those kind of wing guys that gets a lot of action out of this spread out offense that Napoleon runs. Ball teed up, and he stalks it. The kick is up. It's away. It's a little to the right. It's going to bounce to the 18, picked up there by Owen, and he turns it right to his right side across field, and he is hit. Immediately brought down. Nice special teams tackle by the Jayhawks. That is Cameron Woods making the stop for Vanderbilt Blake, and Napoleon will start with a first and 10 from their own 21-yard line.
Yeah, Cameron Woods definitely gave him a, hey, welcome to our homecoming tackle. That was a good stick right there.
Yeah, nice hard hit. And Napoleon contemplates their play from the huddle, breaking out. And now 4 wideouts for Tobin McCrum out of the shotgun. And it looks like that's Fairbanks in the backfield with him. Kill Fairbanks, senior running back. And now we'll get a whistle. And are they changing the spot? Did they? I didn't see a flag come down.
I did see a flag. I think we must have had a false start.
Oh, okay.
Napoleon.
Oh, it would have been they moved it up, so it would have been against Vandercook Lake, so encroachment or something.
Right, you're right.
Against the defense. Hand off to Fairbanks on first down and 5 after the penalty. And he runs into a flock of Jayhawks there at the 20. Or excuse me, at the 30. Second down. And we've got second down and about 6. Oh, they're going to. The guy with the stick moved it a yard just as I let the words escape my mouth.
I think that's one of the benefits of homecoming chain gate. You want the extra yard early? Let's just take it.
So, second down at 5 here for Napoleon. Four wideouts, McCrum shotgun with Fairbanks next to him on his right, and now we'll run a kind of a pitch out, and Fairbanks has a lot of room over there. He's going to get to the first down marker and then to the 40, over to the right side, close to the sideline. He gets across the 45 to about the 46 before he stopped, and they had one tackler there who had a shot at McCrum, and McCrum pitched it with perfect time and got out to Fairbanks, and he had a lot of green space.
Yeah, that was a nice read by McCrum there as the tackler came in on him. Perfect pitch, perfectly timed. And in high school, sometimes those pitches, you know, people take those for granted, but that's a tough pitch sometimes when somebody's bearing in on you and getting ready to hit you. So nice job by McCrum there.
Got it right into his breadbasket at the 46-yard line. First and 10 for the Pirates. Sticking with that same spread formation look out of the shotgun for McCrum. And another handoff to Fairbanks right in the middle. And he's going to get hit right at the line of scrimmage, but drags the defender about 2 yards. Make it second down and 8.
Yeah, Cameron Woods wrapping him up. You know, here we talk about homecoming, and you think, okay, Vandercook's going to come out pumped. But as a high school player, you know, homecoming also brings... You're not in your normal routine. You know, you have your pep rally and you have your festivities and you're eating the extra candy or pop or thing. So as a coach, sometimes homecoming is a scary night.
Sure. And you're, like I said, excited to win for the fans, but a little nervous too when you've got a full bleacher. Second down and about 7.5. And pitch out this time to the left for Fairbanks. He's hit right at midfield. Still going to get another couple yards after the contact. And they'll pull him down and make it a third down for Napoleon. First contact on the defense is Gavin Cooper for the Jayhawks.
Well, we've seen Napoleon a couple times now, and we've seen some punting issues. Surprises there across midfield here that this isn't four down territory here.
Yeah, and this feels like third and long, even though it's third and 4. I would expect this to maybe be the first pass attempt for McCrum. Into the territory, and nope, they do have Fairbanks again. He finds a seam. He's going to get just past that mark, move the chains, and it's a first down. Right up the middle, nice dive for Fairbanks, and I guess we predicted it. I don't know if it's that special to have come up with it, but it's been all Fairbanks, and it's working out so far with a nice march on their first possession for the Pirates.
Yeah, that handoff there to Fairbanks kind of makes me think they were going to be in four down territory, and they probably figured, you know, if we're fourth and 1, we'll go for it anyway. So,
shotgun formation from McCrum with 4 wide, same formation they've been running every time. This time he runs to the right, pitches out to Fairbanks, and he's got a little room over there on the right side. That play has worked out for them now. They've run that option 3 times, and each time have turned it into a pretty solid gain. That's going to get them about 7 yards on first down. And inside of the Vandercook Lake 40 yards. 50 left to go first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning here on K105.3. Congratulations to all of our qualifiers for the game tailgate. They're going to have a chance to win $1,053 with our fall into cash contest. And we've got the Pirates lined up, sticking with what works. Same formation, Fairbanks set up to the right, and it's a give to him, another dive, and he's going to get met and pulled down right at the 35. He's going to be about a half yard shy of that first down, but it'll be third and manageable here, real short for Napoleon, and the run game continues to pay dividends as they continue to march into Jayhawk territory.
Yeah, I'll give Michelle some credit here. A lot of times, you know, you see coaches kind of getting a little too cute and trying some things when right now Napoleon's getting, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards. Michelle sticking to that game plan, and they're marching down the field.
And the march continues. 3 wide out from the McCrum, 2 in the back. And then some, springs out to the left. It's a foot race. Nobody's going to catch him. McCrum to the end zone. Touchdown, Napoleon. He went into kind of a scrum of people, and all of a sudden he emerged, kicked out of the side. Just was alone. And a sprint to the end zone, left corner. Touchdown for the Pirates. 57 to go with 6-0 Napoleon. And we got about a 30 scamper for McCrum. They were just looking to get that half a yard they needed to move the chains, and instead he was able to break it for the big play. Pirates on the board first. Extra point coming. Hold is down, kick is up. Looks good from here. No good. A little wide right. So it's 6-0 is where we'll stay. 1 minute break on K105.3. Back with the kickoff next.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, we're live at Vander Cook Lake High School, and Napoleon has struck first in the first quarter here, brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. And now they'll get out the kick. The Jayhawks will get their first chance on offense. They have three guys back deep to receive. In the center of them all, Michael Kirby Jr. Also back there for the Jayhawks, Caden Dubois. And we got another one here to my left, and that's the guy who will get it, number six, C.J. Adams. Still on his feet, changing field, going all the way over to the left. He's run backwards a yard or two, but it's going to turn into another five or six before he's chased out of bounds, just shy of the Jayhawk 30-yard line. So set him up at the 28, first and 10 for Vander Cook Lake.
And we talked about the Vander Cook youth. It looks like C.J. Adams, one of only four seniors on the Vander Cook roster that we have in front of us, assuming that's correct.
We got a little bit of experience out there, but not a ton. And they'll huddle it up. Set for first and 10. This Napoleon defense. Fairbanks is one of those guys who's important on the offense and the defense. Schneider, another defensive player who's important for the good things that Napoleon does. First down, it's a handoff. And there was some quick penetration. He'll get just beyond the original line of scrimmage there. Ben O'Neill on the carry for the Jayhawks. Second down, and we'll call it a long 8 yards.
And I knew it would not be long until we were mentioning Cody Fry's name on the defensive side for Napoleon, too, who we've seen make a lot of tackles.
Indeed. Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Panthers on the board first. Western 7-0 in their game tonight. Hand off on second down and 8, and they go this time to number 6, C.J. Adams. He gets another, looks like maybe another yard or 2 yards. And look at that. They'll bump it all the way. He's going to call it 5 yards, so he'll make it third down and about, then he moved back on me. Third down at about 6.
And number
71,
Hunter Musgrave.
And Jayhawks come to the line. And there's a half. Nice dive. Quick hit there. Gets into the hole, and he's going to get almost all of that 6 yards they needed. But he's going to stop just a little bit shy of that marker. And on the carry, Caden Dubois. Dubois is what the announcer up here is saying. I like the French. Oh, okay. He said he likes to mix it up a little.
I'm sure that ancestry is there.
I like it.
I think you got it right.
I think I got to do a thick French accent and say Caden Dubois.
That's what I was hoping for.
Took offense, staying on the field, confident they can get a short game. And this time it's sort of a jet sweep. Adams looks like he might get hit in the backfield. Instead, he breaks a tackle. Now he's in midfield on the right sideline. Cuts back in, gets around another defender. He's to the 30, 25, pushed out of bounds at the 20-yard line in Napoleon territory. A flag comes out at the end of the play. But a huge gain on fourth and short for C.J. Adams and the Vander Cook Lake Jayhawks knocking on the door of that end zone.
Yeah, Napoleon looked like they had Adams in the backfield, like they were going to maybe pull him down for a 2-yard loss, but he willed his way through and was off to the races.
Yeah, felt like sheer will out there, nothing more, getting him to where he needed to be. And the flag's going to go against the Pirates, and so add a couple more yards at the end of that one for the Jayhawks.
Yeah, Yeah, that's going to take them. Well, face mask going to get them down to what? Five-ish, six?
Let's see where the spot. Just of the 5 yard variety, apparently. So they'll mark it on the 16. First and 10 from the 16 for the Jayhawks. And you've got Gavin Cooper in there at quarterback. Hasn't had to test his arm yet. Both teams sticking to the ground game here with 5:43 to go in the first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. Jayhawks deep in Pirate territory. Another give to Adams, and he tiptoes his way through the line and then turns on the speed when he needs to. He gets down to the 10-yard line, but a flag comes into the backfield, and that's one that I have to imagine is going to be a hold.
Yeah, you know, there's another one. That was, I thought, a good block by David Porras for Vandercook Lake, but he must have just got those hands out just outside the shoulder pads.
Yeah, we get fooled by that occasionally where it looked like a good block. So instead of second down and five, it's going to be, you repeat the down on that, but they move it back to the 24-yard line.
Yeah, boy, even in the NFL these days, we're seeing just a lot of holding calls. I know that's a point of emphasis, and maybe that's trickled down into high school too, because the games we've done, we're also seeing a lot of holding calls.
Sure. So on first and long, our first pass attempt from, he's got a man open, caught it in the end zone, touchdown Jayhawks. Picture perfect throw, one-on-one coverage on the outside, and you get a 24-yard touchdown pass, and it's Gavin Cooper to, was that number seven, J.J. Futrell?
Yeah, J.J.
J.J. TD for J.J. And it's 6-6 with 5:13 to go. Both teams scoring on their first possession. We could be in for a shootout tonight.
I would dare say that catch was dynamite.
And there's our first obscure reference for the show. And Vandercook will line up for the two-point attempt. Cooper under center. And the gifts to Adams, finds a little space. He's going to carry it into the end zone and make it a two-point conversion. And Vandercook Lake with the lead, 8-6. Here in the K105.3 Football Frenzy, back in 1 minute on the broadcast.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Right. Where are you going to go? Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, kickoff ready to go, and it's in the air, and caught at the 20 by Schneider. Excuse me, that's Owen. Turns to his right, looking to cut back, and he runs into some Jayhawk defenders. The coverage team pulls him down at about the 37-yard line in Napoleon territory. Tyler Owen on the return.
Well, Steve, this game's already been a little bit different from the last Napoleon game we called. I don't know that we had a touchdown in the first half, did we? And now we have two in the first 7 minutes. So
right in that game with East Jackson, we didn't get any scores until the fourth quarter, or maybe it was late in the third. But now both teams have struck on their first possession. And again, it was nothing fancy most of the way. Just solid running games until you found an opportunity to break one for some distance. So patience on the offense has paid off for both squads here in the early going. 5:02 on the clock here. First quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. McCrum in the shotgun with his four receiver look. Another option run, pitches to Fairbanks, and he gets to the edge, turning upfield. He's going to get to about the 50, and a flag comes out right as he makes the tackle, but I don't know what to tell you that call is, except maybe a hold. Best to wait for the official ruling here. But he was stopped just short of the first down. And I'm going to wait and see what the call is going to be. And it is a hold, and that's going to go against the Pirates. So cancel out that gain on first down.
So now here in Napoleon's first drive and a half, we've seen McCrum run that option, what, 5 or 6 times, and I will say Vandercook is putting a lick on him every time too. He's pitched it every time,
right?
And he's going to be paying the price. We'll see how that gets into McCrum's head at all, if at all, and we'll see if those pitches keep being right on the spot or if he starts hearing footsteps. But they're definitely hitting him.
So on first down, it's a. The penalty comes from the spot of the foul, so it only moves. They really at first down and 10.5, essentially, because he was so close to the first down marker when they committed the violation. And the Pirates break the huddle. Just right on the left hash, just a foot away from that 40-yard line. The McCrum shotgun formation. Back to pass this time. Gets some pressure. Coming off the edge. Eludes it. It was quarterback chasing quarterback there. And now he throws deep. He's going to throw it beyond everybody. Incomplete, little miscommunication on the route. Cooper came off the edge. And it looked like he had a clear shot at McCrum. But McCrum saw him coming in. A nice little elude move. And started rolling out and made the throw. But incomplete.
Yeah, we know McCrum can elude rushers. We saw him running from Columbia Central in the season opener plenty of times and making a lot of nice throws on the run. That time he was just well covered.
And even though it doesn't result in a sack, they lose it down there. It's going to be second and long, and that pressure mattered. Even though he doesn't make the sack, that pressure mattered and got McCrum uncomfortable, and the incomplete pass is a result of that quarterback pressure. 4-3 defense for the Jayhawks. Rush coming from the right side this time, and he's going to get right back at him. McCrum eludes again, rolling right, looking to throw downfield. He's got a man right at the marker. It's caught by Owen, and he'll turn it upfield into Jayhawk territory. And the scramble this time, McCrum keeps the play alive and turns it into a Pirate first down.
Yeah, we had J.J. Futrell blitzing there from that linebacker spot, and thought he was going to get to McCrum, but again, nice footwork by McCrum to kind of spin out of that tackle and then maybe throwing a dime on the move.
And the previous blitz from Cooper, he was coming right at McCrum's front side. And this last one, Futrell was coming from the back, blind side, and McCrum must have heard footsteps because he eluded him, turned it into a nice 13-yard gain. First and 10 from the 47 for the Pirates. And it's McCrum out of the shotgun. And he'll give to Fairbanks on first down. And it looked like they had him at the line of scrimmage for no gain, and he just kind of slipped through the crack and is able to get about 3 yards on the first down carry for the Pirates.
Yeah, that's Brady Pickens again for Vandercook, bringing him down. And you're right, I think McCrum, after two straight passes of really having to elude rushers, probably said, hey, let's give the ball to Kale here. Give me a little rest. It's a hot night tonight.
So they do spot that at about the 44 into Jayhawk territory with 3:06 to go first quarter. It's 8-6 Vandercook Lake lead after a 2-point conversion after their touchdown and a missed kick by the Pirates. And this is a different set, 3 wideouts and 2 backs with McCrum, and he keeps, gets past one tackler, eludes another one, fancy footwork, and he's going to get the first down. Inside the 35-yard line, McCrum had about 3 guys with a shot at him before he actually had someone make contact with him, and he just sidestepped him. Nobody could touch him. Slippery.
Yep. That's the second time Napoleon's run kind of that offset eye where McCrum's just let them both go through to be their lead blockers, and last time they did it, he had a 30-yard touchdown. That time a nice gain as well.
Timeout on the field. Let's take a 1-minute break from the broadcast. We'll come back 8-6. Vandercook leads on K105.3.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football right here on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes out of the timeout. The Pirates come back on the field, first and 10 from the Vandercook Lake 34-yard line. 2:43 to go first quarter. The Jayhawks lead 8-6. Now their defense needs to hold up. Both teams scored on their first possession, and Napoleon's trying to make it 2-for-2 here McCrum takes the shotgun and gives to the up back, kind of a fullback, but in, out of the shotgun, and he bowls his way forward. He's got the first down. Would not leave his feet. He gets inside of the 20 on the dive play, down to about the 18. And that was Toomey Patterson, they're telling me up here.
That's a good thing, too, about small school, high school football. You get a fullback. That was, Patrick Thomas?
Patrick Thomas.
Yeah. Patrick Thomas on the carry there.
And again, we don't have weights and heights here, but you look down from here, Patrick Thomas looks to be maybe 180 pounds, maybe. You love the 180-pound fullback. Gotta love small high school football.
And so we get an encroachment penalty against the Jayhawks, and they're going to gift the Pirates a couple more yards. So what would have been first and 10 from the 19 is first and 5 from the 14. For those of you with a calculator following along. Shotgun formation, second down. 2:04 on our first quarter clock. And McCrum's going to keep. This time they're going to hem him up a little bit, and he's not going to get out of that one. Brought down. Short gain. He did manage to sneak ahead for a yard before they're able to pull him down. It would be a third down for the Pirates. And I'm waiting for the spot, but it looks like it's going to be about 4 yards.
Yeah, and again, for the third time today, that's we've seen that offset formation, and each time McCrum's had a quarterback keeper, and it looked like Vandercook was wise to that too. A lot of players pointing around, and they were ready for that McCrum this time.
That is at least how it looks. So second down, and oh, that spot not as good as I thought it was going to be, so they're still really looking at about 5 yards here on the third down play. With 1:17 to go in the first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. And with three wideouts for McCrum, and the, again, those two backs in the backfield with him, Patrick Thomas and Kale Fairbanks. And now we'll get a delay of game against Napoleon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they line up like that again, if Coach Shell has a pass play up his sleeve, too, out of that formation. Vandercook thinking that it's going to be a run.
Maybe some play action. Catch those linebackers cheating a little bit. So they do come out with that same formation on, we've got it listed as 2nd and 9. And McCrum looking to pass. He's got a man going to the corner one-on-one. And the defender broke from the play. Looks like he might have a better shot at the football, but it's incomplete. Intended receiver on the play, Tyler Owen.
Yeah, and sophomore Michael Kirby Jr. over there in the coverage. And we'll be calling out many sophomores' names all game long tonight for Vandercook.
8-6 with a minute to go. The Jayhawks holding on to that two-point advantage. And the football is on about the 19-yard line here. Third down and 10 for Napoleon. And this may be, as you mentioned, the kicking game already missed an extra point. This might just be four down territory anyway for the Pirates. They run that pitch out play. The option goes to Fairbanks. He cuts it up the middle. Off the football. It's on the ground. Looks like the Jayhawks have it. And there's the signal officially. Jayhawk football, Fairbanks on the fumble after the pitch. And the Jayhawks hold Napoleon without points on that possession. Now under a minute to go here in the first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning.
That's a nice, fun moment for there was Michael Kirby Jr. again, sophomore on top of things, covering up the ball, coming out of the pile, holding it up to the homecoming crowd.
And so it's first and 10 for the Jayhawks, deep in their own territory. They're about the 11-yard line.
See the class of 84 cheering section down there that liked that play.
On first down, the give is another dive to the running back. He's going to get about a yard maybe as he falls forward. He tries to stretch it out. Actually, they're going to, it's a, not a bad play. They'll give it about three, really. Just shy of the 15-yard line. Not a bad first down play. Second down and seven for this Vandercook Lake team. And they'll break the huddle coming out here.
We got our Vandercook coaches up here trying to help out with our antenna right now.
And now another play here for the Jayhawks. Getting close to that first down marker. I think he's got it from here. Pass for a first down is the call. They'll move the chains. A nice big play for the Jayhawks. Receiver on the play was Ben O'Neill. And now we got a timeout on the field. Let's go ahead and take a timeout up here in the booth. 8-6, Vandercook leads with the football. 1 minute at the end of the first, and we'll be right back.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes of Vandercook Lake High School. First down, it's a 5-yard gain for the Jayhawks. Near here, second down, a pitch out to the back, to the right side. Slips a defender. He's going to get past the line of scrimmage. Maybe 2 yards on the carry for Caden Dubois.
I think that's Dubois.
You think so? I think it can be either one. I'm fine with it either way. I'm going to guess that Caden's fine with it too, as long as he's getting positive yardage. Setting up a third and manageable for his Vandercook Lake Jayhawks from their own 30-yard line. Here at home, coming night, second quarter underway, 11 minutes and 10 seconds, so half. 8-6, Vandercook with a two-point lead and the football, and it's looking good for them here in the first half. A tight formation. In motion, they pitch it out again to Dubois. He's trying to get to the corner, turns it upfield, and he's pulled out of bounds depending on the spot. It looks like he might have got to the marker. As a matter of fact, that's a first down. Jayhawks moving the chains.
Yeah, and actually I was down on the field pregame, and I was talking to Caden, and he said, you call me anything you want tonight, Dubois, Dubois, just call me a winner at the end of the night. So I think you're all right.
All right, well, I think we're going to be all right if he keeps having runs like that, too. The Jayhawks might just reach that goal. So here it is, first and 10 now at the 37-yard line. Center's down to the ball. Under center here for Cooper. And he looks to hand it off now. And the ball's on the ground. Might have been a Jayhawk in to dive on it. That looks like a broken play. I couldn't tell if it was a called QB run, but it looks like a broken play. He did manage to hold on to the football. And he ends up getting about a yard with the fumble, but it's second down and about nine from the 39-yard line.
Yeah, that definitely looked to me like Cooper was looking to hand it off and turned around. Nobody was there, and I think he thought, well, I'll see what I can get.
Well, it's been infrequent this season in the games that we've done where a quarterback actually lines up under center. But here we are with Vandercook Lake, and they've just got kind of a little pro set under center, two receivers. Cooper back to pass, goes out to the swing receiver, and two Napoleon defenders right there to take Dubois down, and he's going to be hit for a loss of about 4 yards.
Yeah, that was one of those plays where Dubois made a nice catch, and in hindsight, probably wish he wouldn't have caught that because there were two Pirates right there with him for a 4-yard loss.
Another out-of-town scoreboard update from the Western Panthers game. They score and make the extra point again, lead 14-0.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about Vandercook lining up under center. You have a couple old-school coaches down there, Steve Wolven, Bill Covey, just a couple old-school football tough guys who they probably kind of like the idea of putting that quarterback back under center. And
end of one, Michigan Center 0, Addison 0. Scoreless after 1. Lewin Christie, 19-0 lead over Northwest. And I can see one more down there. Columbia Central 14-14 tied with Blissfield. And that's an opponent for for Columbia Central. They lost to Blissfield twice last year. The only two losses they had all year. Both of them to Blissfield, so I think they'd like to get a W against those guys tonight.
Yeah, and how about Northwest doing the second unveiling of their new football field tonight? After the surprised unveiling of last Friday night, where we got to go to two venues last week.
Well, it seemed like it was going to be the debut for the broadcast on 970 AM 101.5 FM, and we kind of snuck in there and stole their thunder a little bit from the broadcast tonight.
How do you like that?
I like it just fine. Third down and about 13 here from the Jayhawk 35-yard line. Cooper under center. And he's back to pass. Again, rolling out to his left, turning and looking. He's got time, no room, though. No one to throw to, and he's going to get brought down at the 29. Sack. Good pursuit. He never gave up on it. Blythe LaForge bringing Cooper to the turf, and that's going to make it fourth and long, and I think you send the punting unit out for this one.
Yeah, you get the sense that Vandercook doesn't necessarily have a high-octane offense, so it's pretty important for them to kind of stay ahead of the chains and have manageable second and third downs. I don't think they want to be in those third and longs. Not that anybody does, but it's particularly Vandercook team, I believe.
And so they do line up the punt. Owen back to receive for Napoleon. The kick is away. Pretty solid punt. It's going to bounce and take a nice Jayhawk roll into the 30, down about the 25, 26-yard line. So a nice punt for the Jayhawks, and now the defense has their work cut out for them. 8:50 to go first half. 8-6 Jayhawks holding on to that lead. So after both teams score on their first possessions, the second possessions not as efficient.
Yeah, that was a nice punt. Here I talked about some teams' punting woes that we've seen, and I'm going to call that a 40-yard punt.
Yeah, that was a solid effort, and he got a nice kick away. And it's helped out by the coverage, the punt coverage, getting downfield fast enough that he didn't have any room to try and catch it and make a play. The best move for him was just to let it bounce, and it took a nice Jayhawk roll, and they've sent the defense out. Spread it out for the Pirates out of the shotgun for McCrum, four wideouts, three of them are to his right. He's standing on the 20, takes the snap, rolling out right. He gets some pressure, ducks it. Now going downfield, he's got a man. It's caught at the 40, down to the 30, foot race, and he's got the speed, 10, 5, touchdown, Napoleon. And that is a 75-yard pass play for McCrum. Tyler Schneider with the catch, and they were running stride for stride, and it just looked like Schneider ended up hit the Nas at the end of that run to give him a little extra boost.
Yeah, he gave him a little stiff arm, I think, and that propelled him and sent Clark back.
Big play opportunity there for the Pirates, and they turn it into 6. 12-8 now is our score with 8:36 to go first half. Get a service dog.
Yeah, a little canine. I felt something rubbing my leg. I thought that was Captain Steve, but it was...
2-point try now for the Pirates. Still spread out here offensively. Back to pass is McCrum into the end zone. He's got a man, and it's Schneider again. Catching the 2-point conversion makes it 14-8. 8:36 to go. Let's take a 1-minute break on the Kimmel 5.3 Football Frenzy.
Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, touchdown by the Pirates, makes it 14-8 with their 2-point conversion. Jayhawks now back to return a kickoff. And they send deep. Looks like I'm seeing Cordell Hurd and CJ Adams. I may have that one number wrong. This kick is maybe an onside attempt or just a squib that didn't go very far, but the Jayhawks are going to get tremendous field position at about the 48-yard line.
Yeah, Brady Pickens, they're alert. Didn't fool him any. He fell on it quickly. This is a big drive, I think, for Vandercook. You know, so you finish the first quarter with a lead, and in fact, it's the first time they've led after a quarter yet this season. So you're feeling good, but then you turn it over, and Napoleon marches down. So let's see if Vandercook can go match him and put a score on the board here.
The spot not as good as I thought. It's going to be at about the 46-yard line. Still great field position to start here for the Jayhawks with Cooper under center. And he gives it on the dive. And I love that play because it's such a quick hitter. It's almost impossible to lose yards on. And they get about four out of the play, maybe five depending on the spot. 14-8. Stay tuned at the half. We will be recapping this game, getting all the scores that we can get. And our halftime coverage brought to you by Collins Brothers Floor Covering. Downtown Jackson. So they'll get about four on that. Make it a long six, but second down and the football just into Pirate territory here. Chuck Miller Stadium. Manchester right now with a 20-0 lead over East Jackson for the Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Cooper under center. And you get C.J. Adams coming around on a bit of a sweep. And it looked like he had some room, and he had his leg just kind of kicked out from under him. Went down like a sack of potatoes there. But he does get about 2 yards on the carry, and he'll make it third down about five.
Which also begs the question of the sack of potatoes. It's a phrase, but I guess I've never seen the sack of potatoes just go down quickly, or I don't know where that came from.
Sure, but. And I don't know where the reference comes from. All I can imagine is at some point you used to have to throw potatoes, and they would drop really heavily.
I'll get our research team on that.
We'll get the research team going. Third down and five, Napoleon territory at the 48. Cooper under center, and kind of play action rolls out, gets the throwaway. He's got a man behind everyone. And he threw it just a little short. C.J. Adams was open. He had a step. But the throw was a little short, and that gave the defenders an opportunity to get it. But truthfully, nice play call by the Jayhawks. Just didn't quite make it happen. So at fourth down and five, it looks like the offense is going to stay out there, Brian.
Yeah, it looked like on that play that Bass from Napoleon was right in the quarterback's face, just enough to where he couldn't quite put enough on that. But, yeah, hey, just like earlier we said, Vandercook.
Oh, no, the punt unit is on the field as I see the punter step back. Maybe a chance for a fake here. Nope, that pitch goes back. Kick is away. It's a low liner, but it is going to bounce and roll that Vandercook way. He's got a knack for getting it to do that, and it's going to come dead just shy of the 20-yard line. So another good punt for the Jayhawks, and they're going to give Napoleon a lot of field to work with. Of course, it didn't stop them last time as they went 75 yards on first down. 6:39 to go here in our second quarter, and it's 14-8. Napoleon leads here at Chuck Miller Stadium at Vandercook Lake High School.
Now that's two punts in a row that Vandercook's gotten good rolls, and I think you can attribute that to phys ed teacher Paul Varner, I believe, works with that in gym class. They work on those rugby-style punts.
Is that it?
Yeah. So Coach Varner helping out with the football squad, too, as well as being a basketball legend.
Well, I hope that kicker's getting an A in class so far this year, because this should count towards his grade tonight. Four wideouts for McCrum on first and 10. He's back to pass. Rolling out left with a little pressure. Throws on the run. He's got a man deep. And the defender goes down. There was a little contact. The pass is incomplete. You almost wanted to see maybe a pass interference against the offensive player, but it really just looked like he slipped.
Yeah, well, the arms did extend, mm-hmm. and the guy fell down, so I was waiting for a flag.
Right. It's a situation where I'm not mad if they called it, but I'm not mad that they didn't either. Harper Creek with a touchdown, missed the extra point, and Western leads now 14-6 on our Tri-County Water Out-of-Town scoreboard. We also have an update Grass Lake 21-7 lead over Hanover Horton. And Addison and Michigan Center now tied at 8 apiece. Cardinals. That's our next game, right?
Yeah, next week.
Handoff on first down and flips through the cracks and into the second level. Now back into the secondary and beyond. Then the first down carry It's going to be 20 yards. Kale Fairbanks scampers, finding the space, and he's pulled down at about the 43. Nice run on first down for the Pirates.
Yep, and if Gavin Cooper doesn't make that tackle, we're going to be looking at a 20-8 game.
So 6:12 to go in the first half, and the clock running, 14-8 Napoleon lead, and they're driving again. And it's going to be on the, to me, it's going to be the Vandercook defense that's going to need to step up right now if they want to keep this one close before the half. Spread out formation again for McCrum. Fairbanks in the backfield, and now we get a whistle, and that's going to be a timeout for the Pirates. We'll take a timeout too, 1 minute break, and we'll be back with more football on K105.3.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
See Boyle, Brian Haynes, and on first down, the Pirates carry it to about the 50-yard line, right at midfield. 50 yards to go here for the Pirates.
And Napoleon, who called a timeout, I think the Vandercook players could use that. We mentioned they're kind of thin in numbers, and I saw about four Jayhawks really bend down, catching their breath. So
four wideouts, McCrum, and the give is to Fairbanks, and he'll dive through the line. Short of the first down marker, it'll bring up a third and about one here for the Pirates. That handoff was so quick, it almost like Fairbanks just caught the snap.
And I don't think some of those big bodies from Vandercook on the defensive line minded that being a run as opposed to having to chase McCrum down.
They haven't caught him yet. 4:47 to go in the half. McCrum with two backs with him this time. And botched snap. It's picked up by the running back, and he's going to get the first down. Just kind of bounced right into his hands, and he picked it up and ran. And so what was potentially a ruined play for the Pirates turns into good enough for a first down.
Yeah, super fortuitous bounce into Fairbanks' arms because McCrum definitely didn't know where the ball was. Fairbanks didn't know where the ball was, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is in his hand. So good break for Napoleon.
Sometimes when the balls just bounce your way, luck favors the prepared. So I'm sure they practice fumble drills and practice, and that was just preparation, making the difference
there. Kind of play, though, if you're Vandercook, you need that homecoming luck.
First and 10 for the Pirates, and handoff on first down is pulled down, a rare stop for little gain. On first down, I believe the ball carrier on that one was Patrick Thomas. Thomas goes to the sideline, second down and 9. From the Vandercook Lake 45, Napoleon. Moving left to right on your radio dial. Homecoming night here for the Jayhawks with 3:25 to go before we get into the halftime festivities. I love the homecoming games. It's the only time you see somebody, a girl in a gown, in the stands at a high school football game. Shotgun and back to pass. McCrum on a slant. It's picked off. Cooper's got it. It looked like it just kind of bounced up. It was ahead of Snyder, and Cooper was running a little ahead of him and just kind of turned, and there's his, thanks. It's a gift into my hands. Cooper makes the interception, and we'll start going right to left now as the Jayhawks get it back with 3:06 and a chance to tie this game up or go ahead.
Yeah, if you didn't know any better, you would think Cooper was running that slant route.
Yeah.
And that it was a nice pass right to him.
Good hands by the QB on defense, and now he'll see if he can avoid a similar play on offense as he looks to drive his Jayhawks down the field with 3:06 to go in the half. Looks like Steve Wolven over there giving the official a little bit of business. Truly just a really nice guy, Steve Wolven. I got to do a game with him and really liked him. He was a fun to talk to and full of knowledge.
Yeah, I've actually known Steve for a long time, and that guy is a sports fanatic and a junkie and just knowledgeable about it. All sports, baseball, basketball, football. Vandercook's very lucky to have Steve come back out of retirement and join the staff.
I'm pleased to see him. Like I said, he was a part of maybe the most successful Vandercook League football team ever a few years ago. They had some really nice, talented players, and he was the right guy to guide them at the time. Hey, congratulations going out to Nicole Long, Martin Walker, Don Clark, Terry Wolven, Jim Petty, Kevin Turner, James Bradley, Heather O'Malley, Mandy Farmer, and Raymond Brown are getting qualified for the $1,053 fall into cash giveaway that we're doing at all of our football games this year. And congratulations to Casey Reimert on winning a $50 Shell gas card from Brooklyn Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Still a few more chances this year to get qualified. Stop out to our pregame tailgate. And on the first down play, they stop Caden Dubois from getting any gain. Matter of fact, he lost a few yards. But before he went down, he pitched it out to C.J. Adams. And kind of a last gasp kind of play, but what it did is cost him 3 or 4 yards.
Looked like something I used to see back in the backyard.
You drew it up that way back then. So Cooper was out for the play.
Okay.
Dubois handling quarterback duties. Cooper back out now after the interception, maybe on the tackle. Heard it coming off a little limp there. And on the pass attempt, on the screen pass, it looked like the back just never saw the football, because they did a great job of setting up that screen as Cooper went back, chased by two Pirate defenders. He floated it over, and the intended receiver on the play, Ben O'Neill, just never saw the football.
Yeah, it did look like he had some green grass in front of him, too.
And blockers.
Yeah, I think it looked like Ben thought he was supposed to be blocking. I'm not sure.
So now make it third and about 19 for the Jayhawk offense with 2:14 to go here in the half. And you want to pick up a chunk of this. I don't think you feel like you need to go for all of it. We'd like to get a chunk of it, maybe give yourself a play on fourth down, but you also don't want to give Napoleon the football back with a short field as time's running out toward the halftime. And Jayhawks will get it to start the second half. Cooper takes the snap, he's back to pass, and he's hit and loses the football. And about as bad as it could have gone on the play, the Pirates get it back. Cooper had the ball out in his one hand and got it knocked loose. Blindsided, two Napoleon defenders right there, and they dove on the football. So with 2:08 to go in the half, it's 14-8 Pirates, and now they have the football, and that'll be on the Vandercook Lake 23.
Yeah, Patrick Thomas coming up with that fumble recovery for Napoleon, and you're right. With 2.5 minutes to go, you're Vandercook. You did what you cannot do. You turned the ball over to him, and now give Napoleon a short field here.
And the Pirates come out on the field for the offense with four wideouts for McCrum. Gives to Fairbanks on first down off tackle. And that play is going to net him about 9 yards, maybe 10 if he dove forward there at the end. We'll see what the spot gives him. Those players, once they get down on the ground, they start kind of rolling forward every time. And so the spot will be back just a little bit shy of the first down marker, but second down and a foot for the Napoleon Pirates. Time running down now to 1:44.
Still plenty of time for Napoleon.
Crum takes the snap, and he's going to keep it into the line. He's got the first down. Moving to the outside. Slips under C.J. Adams' tackle. Gets inside the 10-yard line to the 9. And then he's hit pretty hard.
Yeah, that's David Porras again.
But that'll move the chains for the Pirates. Get him inside the 10-yard line with the minute 26 to go. Clock stops to move the first down markers. Chain gang doing their work. First and goal for the Pirates with a 6-point lead. Clock starts back up 14-8 to score. And Napoleon in front. Stay tuned at the half. We'll update you on any out-of-town scores we can. And that snap, and McCrum's going to keep it, but he's not going to go anywhere. And he crumples at the 10-yard line. A couple of Jayhawks ready for him as he tries to take off.
Yeah, Pickens and Porras, and it looked like Vandercook was definitely just ready to sell out for the run on that one. And they guessed correctly.
Timeout on the play. Let's take a one-minute break on the broadcast. Back with the final minute one of the second half, or the first half.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
C. Boyle, Brian Haynes, K105.3 Football Frenzy with a minute one to go here first half. Napoleon knocking on the door, second down and goal. Hand off to Fairbanks. He's going to get stopped for no gain at the 10. The Jayhawk defense doing what they need to do here. And it's a little victory if you keep them out of the end zone. Even if they were to get three, you'd like to go into the half. I think you'd settle for that.
Oh, yeah.
After that big mistake. But the stop doesn't count yet. Clock running at 38 seconds. Third and goal for the Pirates. McCrum still has that arm. He'll take the snap back to pass. Looking left, he gets the throwaway up the seam. It's tapped and incomplete. Fourth and goal, the Jayhawk defense there again. And McCrum, intended receiver, kind of threw a jump ball up there, and nobody able to come down with it. With 26 seconds left on our halftime clock, the incomplete pass stops it. And Napoleon will make a decision here on whether to kick or go for it, and McCrum comes back out on the field, but it looks like he's the holder for the place kicker.
Yeah, last year's all-conference kicker, Jaden Balnick.
Balnick missed an extra point so far in this game. He's set himself up. The kick is up. It looks good from here, and it is good. 3 points for the Napoleon Pirates. And with 26 seconds, the Jayhawks have one more chance here in the first half. 30-second break. Back with the kickoff on K105.3.
So many people that come to my office every single day that said, you know what, Doc, you're the last hope. I've been to every doctor, my medical doctor, to the specialist, and now I'm to you, and you're kind of the last hope.
Dr. Brad Double of Double Chiropractic.
And one of the things that I always am encouraging patients to do is not to wait. And that's where this comes from, is the five most dangerous words, maybe it'll go away. Five most encouraging words that we hear in our office, is, wish I'd come sooner.
Call for an appointment today, 990-0555.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football, right here on K105.3.
C. Boyle, Brian Haynes, 26 seconds to go in the first half. Stay with us at halftime for the Collins Brothers floor covering halftime report. We'll update some scores. I've got a halftime score from Western and BC Harper Creek, and some other scores coming in from around the area.
Well, Vandercook had to, I know they gave up 3 points, but that still feels like a small victory. You didn't give up seven to them. They had it first and goal on the seven and managed to send them backwards a couple straight plays, so feeling good about that.
Kickoff goes off to the left, and Adams is going to pick it up and run up to the 20, through the pile, and up to the 25. First and 10 for the Jayhawks from their own 25-yard line. Now with 21 seconds to go, trailing 17-8.
We mentioned earlier, I don't think Vandercook necessarily has this quick strike capabilities, so I would almost think that Coach Wolven here might just be okay to hand the ball off and get into halftime and regroup. But we'll see.
See what the strategy is. There's always the chance of breaking a big run play. Cooper is in there under center. I don't think he's had a playoff today. Pitches out. And it's Dubois, turn it upfield. He's going to get to the first down marker and almost to the 40-yard line. So it gets about 15 on first down. Clock will stop. 13 seconds to go. Nice run play on first down. And now we get a timeout from the Jayhawks.
Yeah, Napoleon was kind of okay to just play an almost a prevent-looking defense just to make sure nobody got by him, and probably were okay giving up that 13-yard run. especially since they haven't really seen Vander Cook unleash any long passes here.
They did have the one touchdown strike, but that was about 25 yards. Is that what I think that's what we caught at. Wolven going to be able to go into the playbook and find something, or like just be safe. And like you said, get into the locker room and regroup. Trail by 9. After a half of football, you like to think you can come out and recreate that first drive and get into the end zone. Mistakes hurt both teams here in the second quarter with fumbles coming from both sidelines.
Yeah, you know, as a Vander Cook fan, you'd maybe like to see him drop back and try to do something long, but the problem with that is Napoleon's been in the backfield so quickly, I don't think you even have time to let your receivers get downfield. So,
and Cooper comes out under center. This is 4 wideouts this time. And he is back to pass with a quick out pass. And to an open man, and he'll get inside the 50-yard line. Good play call there. So they eat up a chunk of yardage and stop the clock with 6 seconds left. Receiver on the play was J.J. Futrell.
And again, you had Napoleon giving him that 10-yard cushion and just being okay to letting the Jayhawks pick up 10 or 11 and back with 6 seconds to go.
And now from the 48, back to pass Cooper, rolling out to his right. He's got time, getting chased from behind. He's going to get hit as he throws, but gets the pass away. Jump ball is tipped and incomplete. Futrell intended to play, can't reel it in. So with triple zeros on our clock, we'll go to the halftime for Cos Brothers floor covering with a 17-8 score. Napoleon on the road, leading the home field Vander Cook Jayhawks on homecoming night at Chuck Miller Stadium, Chuck Miller Field, and the Vander Cook Lake Band starts to make their way down to the field. We've got the floats lined up and ready to circle the track here, and I saw the homecoming queen candidates making their way down to the field, so we're ready for some halftime festivities.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe I get to go crown the king. I thought that was what Barb Blair told me, but I don't know.
Yeah, we'll double check that. It looks like they might have made alternative plans to get that done. So at the half, again, 17-8 our score. It's the Pirates leading the Jayhawks on K105.3. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
High school football on K105.3. It's the Halftime Report. Now, back to the press box.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes at the half for Kellen's Brothers floor covering, and a fun half of football, 17-8. Vander Cook Lake sticking around, trying to get that first W of the year, and they looked good on that first drive, Brian, and then struggled to get anything going offensively, but they had some miscues, a fumble, and some penalties hurt them a little bit, but actually overall the penalties have not been that frequent in this game.
And I'd like to talk about the game and what's going on, but the flame-lit baton twirlers that I'm seeing are kind of catching my attention, so I got to refocus, Steve, but I do agree with you.
Well, and they just like that, they're putting them out now.
Okay, well,
you ruined it for everyone.
Well, now I can focus back to the broadcast and the game like I probably should have. But
they're down there, and they said, look, if we're disturbing Brian Haynes, we better put these things out.
Well, that might be my attention span. But, yeah, Steve, you know, like you said, Napoleon, Vander Cook took an 8-6 lead at the end of one, and then a couple costly turnovers. But then Napoleon turned it over, too, to kind of keep Vander Cook in it. So it'll be the second half of who doesn't make the mistakes, I think.
Yeah, and both teams, Vander Cook's going to have to find a way to get that offense going again, because obviously you're trailing by 9. You need to be able to come up with 9 points and keeping them from scoring again. And I, you know, that every time some analyst says something like that, you go, yeah, right, they need to score more than the other team. But you've got 8 points is all you've got in the game so far, and you need to get 9 more, and you need to stop them from scoring. That's the task. That's the trick. So whatever you can do to get the points is going to be the hardest thing to come by, and they're going to have to make that happen.
Yeah.
And do they have something more in the playbook? I think Cooper's looked pretty good when he's throwing the football. They might have to open that up a little bit more. in the second half, but they'll find a way. I think Steve Wolven and his team are going to reevaluate, and I always do, I think it's harder to make adjustments in a game when you're winning than when you're losing. So if you go in the locker room as Napoleon and you go, let's keep doing what we're doing, we're winning, we feel good, but I think Vandercook Lake's going to be able to go, well, look, we need to make these adjustments, and if they make the right ones, it's going to be tough for Napoleon to stop that. So I have optimism for Vandercook Lake in the second half. I do.
All right. You along with a couple hundred fans here.
Yeah, they're all on their feet right now as we get the floats coming out, and it looks like the theme. I see a Rubik's Cube over there. Something that looks like a school bus here. It says, and the side of that float, the mystery machine. Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo action.
It's no mystery. The pirates are history.
Oh, clever. It's funny because I feel like for homecoming floats, it's whoever has the most handy dads that come to the float building parties that can make the float for the kids seem to win. I was not much of help for my kids' floats.
No?
Not a big handyman.
I made a lot of flowers, napkin flowers or whatever we did. That was me. I didn't want to be in the design. I didn't want to be in the construction. I'll just make flowers.
Well, if I recall, before you were Captain Steve, you were known as Flower Boy.
That is unsubstantiated.
Maybe. I might have been making that up. You are an animal.
It's halftime here, and we got an out-of-town scoreboard update from our crew at Northwest, and it's 27-6. Lumen Christie leading Northwest at the half. The new field over there on Revs Junction Road.
Beautiful field.
Yeah, really a treat to get to see that last week. And even under the circumstances that we had to go through to go see it, it was a fun and a memorable broadcast, to say the least.
And if nothing else tonight, at least the power's on. Popcorn's hot.
Columbia Central, let's see. With 2:29 to go in the first quarter, our last check-in from Columbia Central, they were tied 14-14 with Blissfield on our Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Dexter, 42-14 lead over Jackson at the half. And those were expected to be two of the better teams in that league this year. It looks like Dexter getting the best of the Vikings so far.
The Dreadnoughts are tough over there.
Indeed. And let's see. Coldwater, 29-8 lead at Penfield. 21-6, as we mentioned, Western leading Harper Creek at the half. Marshall 26-4 over Hastings as we look down the Interstate 8 halftime scoreboard for Tri-County Water. And I think that's what I've got for scores so far. We have a 21-0 score. Grass Lake was leading East Jackson. And 8-8 was our last check-in for the Cardinals and
Addison.
Thank you.
And I believe Manchester was up 20-0 on... must be Hanover.
Or was it... One of my updates here says 20-0 Manchester at East Jackson.
East Jackson.
Do we have those games messed up in our head? Anyway, there's your out-of-town scoreboard for Tri-County Water. And so in the first half, let's run down some of these big plays, Brian. I see you got some notes. What do they say?
Well, the scoring opened up with a McCrum 30-yard scamper with a missed extra point, and then Vandercook answered fairly quickly with a 20-yard pass from Cooper to Fertel with an Adams two-point conversion. So that ended the first at 8-6. Then the biggest play of the game, I believe, McCrum 64-yard pass to Snyder, and then McCrum to Snyder for the two-point conversion, which made it 14-8, and then the 26-yard field goal by Balnick with 26 seconds to go leaves it where it's at right now, 17-8.
17-8 halftime for Collins Brothers Floor Covering. Let's go ahead and take a four-minute break, and then we'll come back here to the press box at Vandercook Lake High School with the K105.3 Football Frenzy.
Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3. Now, back to high school football.
halftime is still going on here with the homecoming extended festivities. And we've got some lovely gowns out on the field. Brian, do you have a favorite gown?
You know, I don't want to say, Steve. I think they all look like lovely young ladies out there today, so we can't play favorites up here.
All right. I like that one. Halftime here. We had some additional out-of-town scores, updated scores. 32-20 Addison leading Michigan Center after 52 points in the second quarter, we were told. 38-7 Grass Lake leading Hanover Horton. 41-0 Manchester over East Jackson. And we had a 14-14 score, still Columbia Central and Blissfield. So
I also see the Florida International and La Tech game is still 0-0 midway through the first quarter. For those paying attention to college football tonight.
Yeah. What's the spread on that one? Do you know?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of common knowledge that Louisiana Tech is -7.5 with an over-under of 52. But I think most
fans know
that.
Probably already knowing that.
I'm not saying anything that people don't know. Our listeners.
Right.
Astute listeners we have.
Sure. All right, we have the most knowledgeable football listener base in the country.
Tell you what, while we have a second too, I want to give some props to the Vandercook Lake coaching staff and how they're treating us up here.
Getting the
scores
staff
and popcorn and water and man.
The spotter's giving us updates and information and helping us with our equipment. Yeah, it's always nice to get treated like you're at home when you're visiting a school like Vandercook Lake. And to be honest, that's been the case every time I've ever come here. Just a really friendly and helpful crew and group out here at Vandercook Lake. And on homecoming night, they're, I'm sure, in an especially hospitable mood, as long as you're not a Napoleon Pirate fan.
Yeah, I did have one Vandercook fan, though, a little bit, I won't say angry, but Randy Van Epps, I think, took exception. I think you said the 2015 was maybe the most successful Vandercook team of all time. When Randy let me know, there was a 23-0-1 stretch back in 69 and 70.
So, oh, okay. I'm sorry, I don't remember those
seasons. That was a little before our time.
And I believe I qualified it as I try to always do and say one of.
One of.
I hope I did. If I didn't, my mistake. And Mr. Van Epps, I apologize.
Well, Randy, those were some heck of good ball clubs back then.
Sure.
And I think maybe even better than the 2015.
Wow. If only we could get them to play each other.
I'll put my money on the 2015 team now. Although Randy still looks like he's in playing shape, so maybe not.
17-8 here, our score at the half. Homecoming announcements, and there's the king. Where are you at?
Oh.
I thought you were going to give him the crown.
I thought I was.
We'll get you the names of the royalty for tonight's festivities when we come back from the break. We'll take another 3 minutes right now in the halftime, and we'll come back and get things set up for the half. The second half here at our game in the K105.3 Football Frenzy, 17-8. The visiting Napoleon Pirates lead the Vandercook Lake Jayhawks. Halftime brought to you by Collins Brothers Floor Covering.
K105.3 presents high school football. That will conclude the halftime report. It's now time for the second half on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Halftime brought to you by Collins Brothers Floor Covering, and we get ready for the second half here at Vandercook Lake High School. Chuck Miller Field, as we got the drumline wearing ponchos, and for a second I was like, is it raining? But no one else is acting as though it's raining, so it's just a drumline thing. And as a member of the drumline in high school, we did weird stuff sometimes.
Okay.
It happened.
If it is raining, it might be tears of happiness from Olivia Bifus and Tade Hiller, who were crowned Vandercook's queen and king.
You're really coming along. That was an excellent segue.
Thanks.
Yeah, congratulations to Olivia Bifus, Tade Hiller, on the win, homecoming king and queen here at Vandercook Lake. Runners-up were Nate Crump and Erica Cheney.
So just in case they can't fulfill their duties as king and queen.
Yeah.
Erica and Nate take over.
Which I think their duties are, like, you try to steal the crown. That's what I did. You know, I was homecoming king in 1998.
at Michigan
really?
Center. Yeah.
All right. I was runner-up. Not in 98, though.
No. You weren't doing much running at all back in 98, if I recall correctly. We're ticking down the final moments here of the halftime as the gowned ladies will now leave the field. And now you still wear the gown. You got to wear the gown for the rest of the half right before the dance tonight.
Yeah, I guess it's still.
Tomorrow. Dance is tomorrow.
Ooh.
So do you go change now and get into your Jayhawk gear and root on this team in the second half?
Yeah, I don't think you can just go home, take off the gown before you are getting a chance to possibly see Vandercook win their first game here tonight. They're still in this.
They are, and they'll start the half with the football, so that's a benefit to them. You can't get 9 points on one possession, but you can get 8, and all of a sudden you're only 1 point out of this with a touchdown, 2-point conversion. So optimism should be high still for the Jayhawk fans, and I'm sure Steve Wolven and crew made some great adjustments at the half.
I still expect to see them coming out running the ball. And again, we mentioned it first half, you've got to stay in front of the chains if you're Vandercook. You cannot get put in those second and long and third and long situations because Napoleon's just living in the backfield when Cooper drops back to pass.
And it's a deep kickoff down to the 5-yard line. And they get a block. Adams with a little running room. Gets to the 30, getting to the sideline. Can he beat it to the corner? 40. Out of bounds at about the 44. And a nice return by C.J. Adams for the Jayhawks all the way back at about the 5-yard line. He picked it up and patient. He just followed the blockers.
Yeah. They kind of did what you do in all your relationships, kind of outkicked the coverage on that one.
Not all of them, but yes, all of them, I guess.
Adams did take advantage, just as you have.
Jayhawks come to the line at their own 44. Good field position to start the second half. And Cooper goes back looking for an option play. He's all alone, though. It worked out for him because he's going to get about 8 yards. Still battling, and the pile keeps moving. It's the first down. He's hit for a gain of 8 yards and just kept moving, and the lineman got in on it, and we had a scrum rugby style. And they got about 3 yards after the contact. First down for the Jayhawks in Napoleon territory.
I felt for like a moment I was watching some Australian rules football.
And it was a broken play from the start. Cooper turned as though he was going to run an option pitch, and the back just went the opposite way. Cooper, being smart and level-headed there, saw what was going on, tried to make the most of it, and it turned into about a 12-yard gain. First and 10 for the Jayhawks from the Napoleon 45-yard line. Cooper back this time. The pitch out goes, and he keeps it anyway. And he's going to get another 9-yard gain out of it. No pile this time. He's brought down by just one tackler. But it's good enough for a 9-yard gain on first down. Credit on the tackle to Connor Messer.
Yeah, you said Coach Wolven would make some adjustments at halftime, and it looks like letting Cooper keep the ball is what he's come up with so far.
They've been running that. It's been an option look, and neither one has gotten much further than Cooper just realizing he needed to keep the football. But maybe Coach Wolven taking a little play out of the Napoleon playbook here, running that option. Cooper's got a couple wingbacks there, and this time they run the option. This time he pitches to Dubois. He's hitting the backfield, but he dives up the sideline. Did he stay in bounds long enough, or did he step on the sideline? It looks like the officials got him. He'll lose a yard on the play. But it looked like for a moment he was going to gain. What a dive by Dubois, and it could have been an even bigger loss, but he shrugged off a tackler with a stiff arm and was able to get some yardage back and be third down at about 2.5 for the Jayhawks.
Yeah, without that super effort by Dubois, you'd be looking at 3rd and 6 maybe. Again, I expect Vandercook to be in 4-down territory here at the 37 of Napoleon.
10:02 to go, third quarter, 17-8. They trail at home. Cooper's going to keep it. He's got the first down and dives forward a little more. Inside the 35 to about the 33. Move the chains for the Jayhawks and another impressive drive here on their first possession of the half, just like in the first half.
Yeah, you know, the first half, we mentioned that. They were just okay to run and pick up their 4 or 5 yards of carry and
keep the ball moving. It looks like they're going to come out the second half with the same strategy that works.
Cooper doing it with his legs most of the way on this drive so far. First down as Jayhawk player runs off the field. J.J. Futrell goes to the bench. Cooper under center. And they'll run another option read. And he takes it up the seam, and he's going to get down to the 30 before he's pulled down from behind. But again, Cooper has that option and just keeps finding holes off of those guards. And find a little space. He gets about 5 yards on first down again. Make it second and five from the 30-yard line.
Yeah, nice little cutback run by Cooper, but Patrick Thomas takes him down. I've noticed Patrick Thomas with about three tackles tonight where he takes him down and then extends his hand and helps him up. And, you know, what a good guy.
Not a bad thing.
I'm going to take you down, but I'm going to help you back up.
So I can tackle you again. Second and they've got it more like six. This time he pitches out to DuBois, and he's got some room. He's going to have a shot at the chains. Gets to the 20, turns it, spins off a tackle. He's down to about the 11-yard line, and this time Cooper doesn't keep. He makes the pitch, and DuBois does the rest. First down, Jayhawks, and they'll be, wow, they put that real close to the 10, so they'll still have room for a first down short of the goal line, but it's going to be essentially a first down and goal here.
A successful pitch, but I'll tell you what, that was scary looking. There were two Pirates almost ready to intercept the pitch and go the other way, but it managed to get through, and DuBois took advantage.
Cooper and crew heading back to the line of scrimmage here. 8:52 to go. And Cooper will take it, pitches out to DuBois. He's going to get chased back. Now he's got a race to the corner, turns it upfield. He's got a shot at the end zone. Touchdown! Pitch out to the right. DuBois takes it to the house, squeezes inside of that pylon, and on their first drive of the half, the Jayhawks take it the distance. 17-14, they trail only by three. They went for two on their first score. I'd expect more of the same here. Chance to bring it within 1 point.
Just what the proverbial doctor ordered for the Vandercook Lake offense.
And so they come out with kind of a T. And now all the backs shift right, and Cooper pitches out. Adams looking to take it in, and he's going to lean forward. Did he get far enough? No good. They fail on the conversion, 17-14, though. The touchdown's a big one for the Jayhawks. They'll be on defense when we come back. Quick one-minute break, and the kickoff's next on K105.3.
Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Harper Creek with a touchdown as we take a look at the Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. 21-14, the score now, Western's lead down to just seven. Kickoff here to Napoleon, caught at the 25, and he dives forward. He's getting his way to about the 43 before he stopped. And that was a short kick, so that's not even one of the regular return guys, but a nice job by Javen Toomey-Patterson to set up good field position for his Napoleon Pirates after they give up the touchdown on the first possession of the half for the Jayhawks. They're holding on to a three-point lead.
And the Jayhawk cheerleaders adding a little twist to their push-ups per point by actually holding up planks with cheerleaders on it and pushing up off one of the planks.
Wow.
Yeah, impressive.
Impressive. Familiar look from the Napoleon offense. Four wideouts for McCrum out of the shotgun, and he hands off to our man on the first down play, but it's not going to go very far. Little or no gain for Cale Fairbanks on the handoff dive attempt. Jayhawks defense perhaps feeling a little momentum after that touchdown on their first possession.
As I mentioned, we don't have heights and weights, but you look down there at the Vandercook Lake defensive line, and there's some stout young men. That was Brady Pickens, who we've mentioned a couple times tonight, plugging up the holes.
And they'll look to do it again here, second down. They did give him about a yard. Pitch out here by McCrum on the option, and Fairbanks with a head of steam up the sideline, and look at him plow into the defender. He gets into Jayhawk territory, inside the 40. Looks like the football was on the turf, and the Jayhawks have it. Cale Fairbanks, after the collision, loses the football, and the Jayhawks dive on it. On the fumble recovery right there is Michael Humphreys. And the defense gets the ball back for the Jayhawks, but they're not coming up. It's not coming up all good right now for the Jayhawks, as they have a player down on the sideline. It's Michael Kirby Jr. writhing in pain, holding his face. And so he is everything kind of coming to a standstill while they tend to him on the sideline. The officials are having a conference, and I wonder what that's going to have to do with the possession of the football or what else. So stay with us here. 7:50 to go third quarter. 17-14, Napoleon with a three-point lead, but they apparently surrendered the football, turned it over at the end of the play there, but the officials are talking stuff over, so I don't know what conclusion they may come to.
And if any of the Kirby families listening, you can breathe a little easy. Michael's up on his feet. Nobody seems to be medically giving him much assistance right now, having a drink of water, and I think he'll be okay.
And there's a drink of water for him. And I think when it's something like that, they may go through a little bit of a concussion protocol and make sure he's all right, make sure his dome's all right, and that's kind of what he's doing. We kind of get a little glimpse of what they kind of do there as the trainer assessing him, and right now
I think
the officials made their decision.
I think he said, my name's Michael, I'm in Vandercook, and it's Friday, so he's okay to go.
And so they do give the football back to the Pirates.
A little call reversal, huh? Said he was down.
Down on the play before the fumble. Ground can't cause the fumble. In this case, the Pirates have it first and 10. And back to pass McCrum on first down. Got a slant to Schneider. He catches it. He's hit immediately. And a good tackle by a flock of Jayhawks. One after the other. Piling on. They'll stop him at about the 30-yard line, which is going to be about a yard and a half shy of the first down. But a nice play on first for Napoleon.
So here you're Vandercook. You're searching for your first win. You just go down to score to be down three. Think you come up with a big fumble recovery, and now you have to regroup because Napoleon knocking at the door at the 31. They got to try to hold them to three here.
Nice slant on first down pass to Schneider. McCrum will get the snap again here from, again, Napoleon on the Vandercook 30. And now it looks like we're going to get a false start against the Pirates. A little movement drawing those Vandercook Lake players into the neutral zone. But it was a false start.
Yeah, I think the right guard there sees big 77 Brent Sudum right across from him, kind of dancing around. And I think he was going to get an early jump to block big Brent, and I don't blame him.
Now it's second down, and they've got it at about 8 yards for the Pirates. With 6:52 to go third quarter, McCrum looking to pass again. He shoulder fakes, goes down to the middle, and he had a guy open. Schneider had a step, and the throw goes a little bit out beyond the reach of his hands and incomplete. So with 6:46 to go and 17-14, our score, Napoleon's three-point lead comes down to a third and long scenario.
Every game has some big plays. This just feels like a big drive to me, Steve. Again, if Vandercook can hold them here, get the ball back, and maybe put that same kind of drive they did to start the second half.
Yeah, you really feel like this is a chance for the momentum to stay with the Jayhawks, and Napoleon can snatch it back, especially when you hold them, you get them into a third and long scenario like this. If you get a stop, you feel great if you're the Jayhawks. If you give up the first down yardage, then that's going to take a little wind out of your sails. It's going to be kind of a middle ground here as McCrum gets about three on the carry. It's going to set up a fourth down, and we'll say 5 yards. And so at this end of the field, I wonder if Napoleon does send in the kicking game and try to pin the Jayhawks deep. McCrum going over to the coach for the play.
Yeah, I almost have to believe by them running that play, that meant that the Napoleon coaching staff thought, you know what, we're going to run it, try to pick up a few yards, make this fourth down manageable. That looks like what's getting ready to happen.
Yeah, McCrum comes out, sets up in his familiar shotgun position, and now we'll get a timeout from the Napoleon sideline. Let's take a timeout on the broadcast. 1 minute break, and we'll be right back with 5:55 to go in the third. It's 17-14. Napoleon leads on K105.3.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes. Tyler Owen in motion as McCrum's back to pass on the fourth down play. And he gets Owen out into the middle of the field. And he's open. He catches it. And after the contact, down on the field again. And Brian, it looks like it's Michael Kirby Jr. again.
Michael Kirby again. Taking a beating out there today.
His helmet popped off at the end of the play. And he's still holding his face. So maybe he... re-injured or aggravated whatever he had injured before. Jenny Lewis tonight out at Jackson Underworld. That might be a stop on my way home. Get a little scare in me. So the Jayhawk players will take a knee on the field. Stick with us here. We've got a close one, 17-14, 5:47 to go third quarter. Fourth quarter coming up for East Jackson Community School. Stay with us after the post game. We'll go over the game stats, set things up for our next broadcast.
That's a huge fourth and five conversion by the Pirates there, and a great pass by McCrum and a nice catch. Nice little crossing pattern by Snyder, but you can't help but think that if Napoleon were to come up with 20 more yards and 7 more points, you know, if you're a Vandercook player who you don't have a win yet, that it starts getting in your head like, oh, here we go again. So that's why I say this drive is so big for them.
You'd love to get a turnover down here in the red zone. They're on the 20-yard line exactly as Kirby makes the way to the sideline to get under his own power, but he is holding his head. And so the Pirates come to the line. Pitch out goes to Fairbanks. He dives forward. He's going to get stopped short of the first down marker, but he's got about 8 yards on the first down carry, make it second and two. 5:17 left here in our third quarter.
I think if I'm Napoleon, I just keep giving the ball to Fairbanks at this point. I haven't really seen Vandercook be able to keep him to... You know, for runs, for losses, that's for
right.
Sure. He keeps the pile moving every time. So
there's been a play or two where they've got him for a 1 or 2 yard gain, but for the most part, he's able to get 3 or 4 virtually every time he touches. We'll see if they go to him again. McCrum takes it, and the handoff does go to Fairbanks up the middle. And as we said, he does fall forward, gets about 3 yards. It's still a little short of the marker, so they'll have a third down play here, third and short. The Jayhawks defense bending but not breaking on this drive so far. And you're just kind of you're standing by waiting to make something happen. A strip sack or a interception or a fumble recovery would be wonderful for the Jayhawks right now.
And even though this feels like a play that you're going to go to Fairbanks, I do think that Vandercook has shown that they will run blitz and do whatever they have to do to sell out to try to stop this. This might be a good bootleg opportunity for McCrum.
I mean, we're 8 minutes into this quarter and we've had 2 possessions on offense, 1 for each team. It's been a efficient game, and McCrum back in the backfield gets swarmed, and he's going to lose yardage on the play. That's going to set up another fourth and long scenario here for the Pirates, and maybe a chance to bring Balnick out to kick and extend this out to a 6-point lead.
Again, it's easy for me to say in hindsight, but boy, you're giving the ball to Kale and you're just churning out yards, and then you try to run McCrum out wide there and give him a chance to tackle him for a loss. Instead of 4th and 1, now you're looking at a 4th and 8, which is a big difference.
So they do come out on 4th down and what do they have? They say 8. That's what it looks like to me. 4 wideouts for McCrum. Cooper moves in, maybe looking to blitz. Showing blitz, and it looks like he was about to take off a little early. He is going to blitz. Fairbanks picks up the blitz. One-on-one coverage on the outside. And a good defensive play by the Jayhawks, but we're going to get a flag in. He didn't turn and look for the football.
Yeah, just never got his head around, did he?
Well, probably a little underthrown. And so the coverage was there. And they do call pass interference against the Jayhawks.
I can kind of tell by the Vandercook Lake PA announcer that he did not agree with that call.
2:57 to go here in the third quarter. And again, we've had the Jayhawks with a long drive to score, and now Napoleon with this drive. And it's been a two-possession quarter here for us. And I don't know, if Napoleon takes two or three plays to score, we might get it, might get down under 2 minutes here.
If you're Vandercook, you don't want to be down by two scores with a quarter to go.
14. The snap and the pitch out goes. And it was first and goal from about the 9. And he's going to get stopped short of the goal line on that first down pitch out to the left. But it is going to be second and goal from about the 1 for Napoleon.
It'll be second and 1.
Now this time I have to believe this will just be a quick handoff to Fairbanks and nothing out wide. Don't give Vandercook a chance to pull you down for a loss.
What we have seen when they need short yardage sometimes is they'll stack up that, they'll still spread it out, but they'll stack up a couple of running backs in the backfield, and then those guys will block from a crumb on the keep. And they set up with that formation is kind of what they do. And it is a keep from McCrum. And Vandercook got a little wise to it. McCrum with a little second effort, and it looks like he might have got stopped just short. So the Jayhawks, if I can predict it up here, I think the players on the field can see it coming too.
Yeah, I agree.
They've done that on virtually every short yardage play so far tonight.
I think every time but one they've lined up in that formation, McCrum's kept it.
So it brings us to a third and goal. 1:39 left on that clock. A couple of really sustained long drives by both teams here in the second half to get us started. And we're almost down to one quarter to go. This time it's McCrum under center. And he'll try to sneak it. And the Jayhawks, it looked to me like they stopped him. The Pirates players are signaling touchdown. Waiting for an official ruling. I don't think he got it.
I didn't think so either, and I see no officials with their arms up.
And now's the signal. They do give him the touchdown. And it's almost like they went down to the pile and said, well, he's in right now. But he could have been stopped and rolled it, slid in there under those five or six guys, but they do make it a touchdown for the Pirates. And nice effort by McCrum with a little help. Fairbanks came plowing in there from behind him to give him that little extra boost. With 1:03 to go, it's 23-14. And Balnick will come in to kick for the Pirates. PAT can make it a 10-point game. The kick is up, and that's good. 24-14 with 1:03 to go. We'll take a quick one-minute break. Back with a kickoff on K105.3.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, 1:03 on our third quarter clock, and a Pirate kickoff coming up. And they do a little onside, and it's going to be good. It just dribbled over that 50-yard line. They needed it to get 10 yards. You got 10 yards and 1 inch. Pirates dive on it, and that is an onside kick successful for the Pirates. They tried it once earlier in the game and were unsuccessful. This time it works.
Yeah, that was a case where maybe the Vandercook youth got to him. I think the kick returner didn't think that was going to roll 10 yards, so he thought he was just going to let it be, but sure enough, it rolled about 10 and a half yards, just enough for Napoleon.
If you're Vandercook Lake, you're going to see you got about 13 minutes, and you're starting to feel like that first W is slipping out of your fingers here. They need a big defensive stand. First and 10 from the Vandercook 49 and a half yard line. McCrum Rolling right, pitches out to Fairbanks, and the Vandercook defense right there. Fairbanks still manages about a half a yard at the end of the play.
We have J.J. Petrell laying on the turf here after being part of that tackle. And we've seen a lot of Vandercook guys kind of laying down there after tackles. And you start to wonder, is this starting to be fatigue and they're just getting that little extra rest? Or
again, he's holding his head, but now you can see he's got a hand on his thigh also. So maybe leg, maybe head related.
And with the heat, who knows, that could be looking at a cramp as well.
And when he started pointing to his calf, and he is getting the traditional calf cramp massage there. With 43 seconds to go here in the third, 24-14 our score. Napoleon getting the football back. Our Tri-County out-of-town scoreboard, 41-6, Lumen Christi leads Northwest right now. Western 28-14 with Battle Creek, Harper Creek, and Dexter 57-14 lead over Jackson High.
Looks like Addison is up 46-34 on Michigan Center as well, with 2 minutes to go in the third period over there.
Out-of-town scoreboard for Tri-County Water. Delicious, refreshing water from Tri-County. You know what they'll do is you can get your water softener salt from them. And my buddy Kyle Klinger, who is he works for them, he said they'll bring it. Not only will they bring it into your house, they'll pour it into your softener.
That's a wonderful service.
It is, and they'll do it on schedule for you. Tri-County Water.
Now, when you're a tough guy like myself, you can carry a couple 40-pound bags to the basement, but, you know, for a lot of people, that's a chore.
Right. You like to do it yourself. And there's another handoff on first down. Slow to develop pitch-out play, and the Jayhawks on top of it again, and this time they're able to stop him, and it looks like he lost about a yard back onto the 50-yard line. Third down and 11.
I'm guessing that's going to be the last play of the third quarter.
Time tick.
Let this run out.
Clock going to run out for us. We'll go to the fourth quarter for East Jackson Community Schools, 24-14. The Pirates lead. They'll have a long third down play when we come back after a one-minute break.
Jackson's only live coverage of high school football, right here on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, Chuck Miller Field at Vandercook Lake High School. And that's looking a little longer than it did before the break. But it's third down 11 here at the 50 for Napoleon. Back to pass, under pressure, gets the throw away, and it right through Tyler Owen. He had the hands out, and he couldn't pull it in. McCrum takes a shot as he lets go of the football, and that's going to bring up 4th and 11, and the punt team will come out for the Pirates.
If you're Vandercook, down by 10 here with 11:56 to go, that was a must stop. You cannot afford to give Napoleon another score. I just don't think they can score three times. So.
Yeah, that was a fantastic defensive stand for the Jayhawks there. They needed that stop, and now we'll see what they can do with the punt. The Napoleon punter back at standing on his own 35-yard line, takes a step forward. Boot goes from the 40, and he sends it down to the 25 and rolls inside the 20. Good punt for Napoleon down to the 16, and a lot of field to work with here for the Jayhawks. And you got to try to find that big playability. Cut this lead back down to about 3, and 3 or less. If they can get, you know, if they can complete a 2-point conversion and cut this down to 2 points, it's anybody's game at that point. Big drive here for the Jayhawks. Big possession for Steve Wolven's crew.
Yeah, good punt by Balnick again with another good bounce. He must have enrolled in Coach Varner's phys ed class as well. Snuck over there. Short drive from Napoleon to Vandercook.
The cooperative learning scenario here in the Cascades Conference. And on first down, Cooper keeps. He's going to get the first down and then some. Slip and tackle still on his feet. And he's going to get down to the 39-yard line before he's brought down hard by Cale Fairbanks. But a big run on first down. It was working for him the last time they had the football. It did it again. Cooper on the QB keep for a big gain for the Vandercook Lake Jayhawks. with 11:38 to go in our fourth quarter. Fourth quarter brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive, Brian. Join the Trojan Nation.
I've been getting letters in the mailbag that think together we thrive, Steve. You and I together.
I think that's true. And with East Jackson Community Schools as our sponsor, we can't be stopped. In motion, a nice pitch out here, and he's going to turn it up. He's got the afterburners on Dubois up the sideline, into the pulling territory, turns it back inside, 10-5, touchdown! Nice piece of play calling by Coach Steve Wolven. There's not a flag on the field anywhere to be found. It's a touchdown for the Jayhawks. Big play. Yes, yes, yes. All the way down the field. Caden Dubois took the pitch inside, started left, turned it back the other way, and just turned on the afterburners, got up the sideline. He was able to slip inside of a few Napoleon tacklers on the way to the end zone for a big, big score.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something they saw in film, that little cutback would be there, but they've run that a couple times for nice yardage, and this homecoming crowd is on their feet and getting excited.
And you start to feel a little bit of energy come back into this audience. Cooper under center. Takes a snap back to pass for the two-point conversion, and it's a backwards pass. And C.J. Adams kind of felt like he thought it was going to be incomplete, but a backwards pass can bounce. He picked it up and ran, but they won't get the conversion, so the lead's still 4 for Napoleon. But the momentum may be back with the Jayhawks. Let's take a 30-second break and come back with a kickoff on K105.3.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music. K-105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, as the Vandercook Lake cheerleaders finish their raised push-ups from the raised platform. As we've got a 24-20 score and 11:05 left to play, it's getting exciting here. Miller Field.
I wish the cheerleaders had numbers, because the cheerleader on our left was giving us some solid push-ups. The cheerleader on our right, however, was kind of doing some head bobbing that I didn't feel like.
She needed her core to be a little more, yeah. There's a kickoff for the Jayhawks, caught right at the 20 by Tyler Owen, and he turns it to the right side. Looks to slide upfield, 33-yard line. Pretty good coverage by the Jayhawks special teams. And Napoleon will take over in their own territory on the 33-yard line. Vandercook Lake cheerleaders, Brianna Bailey, Madison Campbell, Erica Cheney, Abby Clark, Dayden Dolson, Zoe Legal, Brianna Langley, Brianna Ray, Alicia Jimenez, Summer Renfro, Montesia Smith, Mason Hines, coached by Sarah Dubois. Getting the job done tonight on homecoming.
Getting a workout, too.
Pirates out on the field now on the offense. First and 10. And a little confusion from the Vandercook Lake sideline, and they'll take a timeout.
Yeah, you hope that timeout doesn't come back and haunt them later with 10:58 to go. You know, right now time's not an issue, but one long sustained drive from Napoleon or one failed time to score from Vandercook and that clock will become an issue.
Yeah, and you got to hope that your defense can make a similar stand to what they made last time. And the timeout might even be worth it just to give these kids a little bit more of a break, a little bit more of a breather to have what it takes to stand up against this Napoleon offense that has at times looked explosive tonight and at other times has looked like a ball control, you know, old school kind of thing. It's just been a nice to watch tonight. Derek Schell and his crew do a nice job with these guys. Let's go ahead and shout out our Napoleon cheerleaders tonight. I think we've got, do we have them on here? Yeah, here we go. Haley Culbert, Caitlin Bam, Chelsea Bam, Mackenzie Peterson, and Mackenzie Sutton, coached by Sarah Corchin.
Steve, I have another out-of-town scoreboard update with Blissfield taking a 28-14 lead against Columbia Central and Addison 46-35 over Michigan Center. Good news for all the over-betters.
First down for Napoleon out of the timeout. Four wide receivers for Tobin McCrum, and we get an offsides penalty against the Jayhawks. So they'll help him out with 5 yards extra. First and five now at the 38-yard line.
Yeah, most of these kids for Vandercook playing both ways. It's late in the game. It is hot tonight. You know, when you start getting tired, those mental mistakes start creeping in there.
And really, it comes from a desire to be aggressive. They want to get the jump on the snap, and it's not a bad mistake to make. And on the carry, they're only going to get about a yard, maybe two, up to the 40-yard line, and it'll be second down and four.
Steve, is it too early as you're a Vandercook fan to just be on the edge of your seat for each play? Does it feel to you that each play is just of the utmost importance and getting stopped here? And
yeah, they all feel. You're right. They all feel important. If you're the Jayhawks, every stop, everything that's not a first down, feels like it's another opportunity for you to make a big play. And with a 4-point deficit, you need something big. You're looking for that first W of the year on homecoming night. Back to pass, McCrum rolling out to the right. Gets it downfield. He's got a step, but he overthrew the receiver again. McCrum's had a little too much arm a few times tonight. Incomplete third down and about 4 yards for the Pirates.
Yeah, McCrum's had, it's been Snyder most of the night that seems to have a step on some of those Vandercook defensive backs. But you're right, McCrum flashing some arm strength just a little too much.
If you get it, come up here.
Lumen Christie, that's a final now from over on Van Horn Road. 41-6, the Titans top the Northwest Mounties. Third down play here, big defensive opportunity for the Jayhawks. McCrum rolling out right, being chased, throws it downfield, and it's through the arms of the intended receiver on the play, Schneider. Incomplete. Fourth down, and the Jayhawks with a chance to get another stop.
Looks like Napoleon's sending out the punt crew.
That would be my call, Brian, but I'm not a high school football coach for a reason.
Well, you know, I do think it's different in high school and college. You know, in college, when you have punters that are going to be punting it 40, 50 yards, mm-hmm. then I do think the safe play. But, boy, if you're only gaining 10, 15, 20 net yards on these punts, you know, maybe it's analytically wise to go for it.
The punts today haven't been bad. The snap's a little high. He does reel it in, gets away a pretty good punt on the line, and he's going to field it at the 35. Chance to run. He loses a couple tacklers, still on his feet. Goes backwards a little bit, and the tackler gets to him. So he had a chance to gain about 6 yards, and instead he loses a couple. And the Jayhawks will take over at about the 33-yard line in their own territory. Adams just trying to make a big play. You can feel these Jayhawks players want to make a big play. They can sense that they have a chance to get a W here tonight, and they're putting their full effort in.
They sure are. You know, again, if he runs that and gets to the 40, you're looking at a net punt of 20 yards. So, again, you're Napoleon. You got to start weighing those. Is it worth the 20 yards of field position?
So first and 10. In motion, a pitch out goes to Dubois. And he's only going to get a couple. But when Dubois gets it right now, I feel like he just looks shifty. Like he's got to look for that space, and he's ready to turn on the burners. Big play always seems to be right just moments away when Dubois gets that pitch out. In this case, he's only going to go for about three. Second down, he'd like to get another three.
Yeah, you're right. Dubois looks like, of all the players on the field, he looks like he has the freshest legs right
yeah.
now.
He's in the backfield as they come to the line with Cooper under center. In motion is C.J. Adams. Pitch out goes to Dubois again. And there he goes, turning it on. Runs into the pile. He's going to get the first down, and now he's going to get inside the 45, or past the 45, to the 46. And that's the exact kind of play that if you're the Jayhawks, you just need to consistently get. And it almost feels like with that pitch out back-to-back plays like that, they're just kind of setting them up to do something off of that. Maybe it's play action. Maybe they hit one of those counter plays. that has worked for him a couple times tonight.
Yeah, every game we've done, we like to give a little love to some of the, you know, players that make him blocks. That was Ben O'Neill with the block that sprung him on that play.
Adams in motion again. This time the give is a dive to Dubois, and he gets through the line, twisted around and pulled down just short of the 50-yard line. Midfield position here for the Jayhawks, and again, a little bit of momentum, a sustained drive. And now you start thinking, geez, if you're Vandercook, you'd like to eat up some clock. If this drive's going to end with a score, you'd like to eat up a little clock. But if you can't, but the score is the vital thing. So if you can do it in a moment, you do it. If it's going to take longer, you do it either way. But this time, Adams coming around, gets the hand up, and he breaks into the second level, into the defensive backfield, and into Napoleon territory, past the 35, down to the 31-yard line, and another big play for the Jayhawks running game. And everything's clicking right now for the Jayhawk offense.
Yeah, the stadium just feels, there's some intensity going on right now. I think people are feeling what might be about to happen. I know I am.
8:02 to go, fourth quarter for East Jackson Community Schools. 24-20 our score. The Pirates leading the Jayhawks, but the Vandercook Lake team driving right now with momentum. 32-yard line in Napoleon territory with a fresh set of downs. They line up, and the gives to Adams again. Coming around the end, turns it upfield. Shuffles in. Nice juke move by Adams. Faked it inside. Took it back out. He's got the first down. And that's going to put him up at the 16-yard line.
Some great blocking by the Vandercook offensive line, just giving Adams all sorts of room to run. Not sure who's more excited, the Vandercook fans or the service dog licking my leg right now.
Or I'm going to add a third member to that equation. How excited did you just sound for the service dog?
I like the service dog.
Back to the play on the field here. First and 10 for the Jayhawks at the 16-yard line in the red zone. The running game has brought them this far. They give to Adams again. He, some little patient running, dances around, finds a hole, gets to the 10-yard line. He's brought down, but that's another 7 yards on first down. Adams and Dubois sharing the ball-carrying responsibilities with equal success on this drive. Second down and just about 2.5 with 7:12 to go. Jayhawks momentum.
We talk about Vandercook searching for that first win, but Napoleon also only has one in their own right. So, you know, that things get creeping in their head too, like maybe it's here to go again for us. So
the mental game.
Yeah, it's a mental battle out there.
And right now, Coach Steve Wolven having his own X's and O's battle with Derek Shell from Napoleon, and this time a keep by Cooper, and that one is pulled down from behind. I like the play call. I like the thinking on it, but a great job by Cody Fry to make the stop.
Yeah, been a little bit since we mentioned Cody Fry, and he's usually all over the field in that play. He sure was. He came running them down from the weak side.
So going to lose a couple on the play, but what you just feel like every play is kind of building on each other. First they give it to Dubois a couple times, and then they fake it to him, and it's an inside run for C.J. Adams. And then after that, they fake to Adams, and Cooper keeps it. So Steve Wolven running through his playbook in his head. He's on fire right now calling plays. Third down and 5, Cooper. And we're going to get the play whistled, Dad, and I wonder what the call will be. I don't see a flag down.
Yeah, they call
timeout.
Timeout.
Vandercook took a timeout on third down and 5 play in the red zone. We'll take a quick timeout, too. 1 minute break. We're back with the broadcast on K105.3.
Now.
1798. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of Slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool.
No, it's not mine. On third down, the handoff goes to Dubois, and he's going to get to the 10, but not much more. The Napoleon defense stands up. And here on fourth down in about 3 yards, big play time for the Jayhawks. I think right now might be a good time to you want to, that QB pitch, the option with the QB where Cooper would keep it, that play has been effective. They may go with a big set and just try to overpower the Napoleon defense. They feel like a little fatigued, a little on their heels.
Yeah, or even a pitch out to Dubois, and let's see if his speed can get around him again. Many options they have.
They do. Cooper comes out of the huddle and goes back under center. Dubois is behind him. Adams to his left. Adams goes in motion. And Cooper gives to Dubois up the middle. He's got the first down. He's inside the five. And he loses the football. Fumble on the play, and the Pirates have recovered it. He had the distance, loses the rock, and Napoleon's defense holds up, and with 4:54 to go, still feels like anybody's game. It was the right play call. They got the hole, and Dubois turned on the burners, but he lost the football. Good job by the Napoleon Pirate defense.
Yeah, the defense holds up. Now you get the feeling if Napoleon could get two first downs, Vandercook would be in trouble. So these first couple series are big ones.
And remember that Vandercook Lake used that timeout. And so they're a little short on the timeout.
Yeah, one left,
timeout matchup. So yeah. McCrum standing on the 1 yard line takes the snap. He's going to hold it, rolling out right. Slides past the defender. Looked like they had him hemmed up. He's still on his feet, though. They string out the play. He's going to get about 3 yards. He ran a long way just to get 3 yards. But at first, it looked like he might lose a yard or two. Nice running by Tobin McCrum out of the backfield to keep the Pirates moving forward.
A good pursuit by Cameron Woods there for Vandercook.
About the 12-yard line here for McCrum and the Pirates. They give him 4 on that carry. 4:19 to go in the fourth quarter for East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive. Join the Trojan Nation. Steve Dorr and the whole crew over there.
Yeah, speaking of crew, the Chain Gang, you don't see this very often. The husband, wife, Lance and Christy Dahl on the Vandercook Chain Gang.
That's a long way. Good eyes. Long way to spot that out there. Husband and wife. The family that chain gangs together stays together, I guess.
I like that phrase better than sack of potatoes.
So we're still getting a little, I don't know, we got a timekeeper disagreement or something here. Tobin McCrum trying to use up all of his allotted time as the clock's running now down 3:22 to go. And now they'll take a Napoleon timeout. Let's take a 1 minute break. 3:16 to go, 24-20 is the score. K105.3.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Western and Harper Creek is a final now, 35-14. The Panthers with another win on the Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Second down and 5 for the Pirates, and it's a give to Fairbanks, and he had a lot of green space there, and he walks to a first down, give him 7 yards on the carry. Well blocked by the Pirate offensive line. 3:10, clock stops for them to move the chains. 24-20, Vandercook right there. And this is a vital set of downs here, Brian. You predicted 2 first downs would be enough.
Yeah, that might, you know, I think if they get this one, Vandercook could be in trouble.
If they take 3 plays again,
yeah,
to do it.
Yep.
McCrum with 2 guys in the backfield. This is generally that formation where we see a QB keep. That's what happens. Jayhawks get back there, though. Good job with the penetration. They're going to stop him. He's going to lose about 4 on the play. That's a nice stop by the Jayhawks. Big play when they needed it. 2:38 on the clock.
Vandercook using their final timeout now, too. So kind of Coach Wolven saying, this is our set of downs that we have to stop them.
And he telling that exact thing to his players right now, no doubt. Whatever the result is, both teams have played an entertaining game tonight. A lot of felt like a throwback style football game a lot of the time with just the running game and some of the hard-nosed defensive plays. And I enjoy that kind of football here on the radio at K105.3 Football Frenzy. Stay tuned. More from Jenny Lewis over at Jackson Underworld. She's there until 10 o'clock tonight, and they're open every weekend now through Halloween. And it's, man, this is a world-class place over there. Have you been?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You mentioned about going. I wondered if maybe after this, if it's, you know, time permitting, we sneak over there and perhaps you'd hold my hand going through there. I get a little nervous.
That's my general role when I go to the haunted house. I have to go first. My wife won't go first. She's pushing me and pulling me simultaneously somehow. Go forward, but don't go too far, you know.
I thought maybe you at my hand and the service dog at my legs and we'd be all set.
Second down, 13 yards. And a huge next couple plays here for the Jayhawk defense and the Napoleon offense. McCrum keeping. Now he throws open. Owen, nobody near him. He gets to midfield. They'll pull him down. He's into Jayhawk territory. It looked like a clear QB keep by McCrum, and then he just throws it on the run, and Tyler Owen by himself in the seam caught it and never looked back.
That's definitely one of those plays where when you're a Napoleon fan, if it works, you're thinking, oh, Coach Shell, that was genius. Nobody thought you were going to do that. If he drops it, you're thinking, oh, why are you stopping the clock? But it worked. Coach Shell looked like a genius. And now I guess we'll find out if that second first down was enough or not as it gets down to 2:24 left and counting.
49-yard line for the Pirates. And you just got to keep the clock going in McCrum. Is going to wait out the play clock for as long as he can. The Jayhawk fans still riled over here, hoping to get this homecoming win. Now McCrum takes the snap, gives to Fairbanks. He's going to get stopped going nowhere. Lost a yard on the play. Falls forward at the end. We'll see if it's a good spot, but he might have gotten back to the line of scrimmage. Second down and 10, and the clock keeps running with 1:47 to go.
Yeah, at this point, if you're Vandercook, you almost got to just hold up the ball carrier and have somebody come in trying to strip the ball or something. You need a turnover now, or else I think Napoleon will be able to run out this clock.
No rush in the huddle for the Pirates. That's got to be the worst kind of feeling when you know you get up here to the line, guys, we got to stop you. And now the Pirates will head to the line of scrimmage. They come out of the shotgun, two backs with him. A low snap. He picks it up, though, and he's going to dive into the line. Still on his feet. He's going to get about 3 yards, maybe four, before he's brought down. And with 1:06 to go, that'll make it third down at about seven.
Yeah, when you're Coach Shell there, I think you tell your ball carriers at that point, you know, you don't need to try to fight for that extra yard or two. If you get that, you know, if somebody's there, go down.
Yeah.
No sense fighting. That's when you lose the ball.
That low snap had to feel exciting for a moment for the Jayhawks, but a good job by McCrum to pick that ball up and take off a running.
And I think if you're Napoleon right now, you can just kneel on this.
That might be all she wrote for the Jayhawks. A valiant effort. A turnover inside the 10-yard line. The difference maker tonight, they had a chance. And that will stop the clock with 20 seconds left. Did we get an official timeout flag on the play?
Will Miss Dingy please come to the press box?
Congratulations one more time to the homecoming royalty tonight here at Vandercook Lake. Tade Hiller, your king tonight, and Olivia Bifus, may their reigns be long and prosperous.
I'm sure Tade was happy to get the crown, but I know for a fact me crowning him would have meant a lot more.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see Tade in the parking lot after the game and
crown him anyway.
Little unofficial ceremony. Hope Tate doesn't think that's too odd.
Third down. Victory formation for the Pirates. McCrum kneels the football. The clock begins, and I think we're looking at our final score here. 24-20, the Pirates hold off another hard charge by a Cascades Conference opponent. We saw them out last East Jackson a couple weeks ago. Now they hold off a very, very ready for action Vander Cook Lake team. 24-20, our final. Let's go ahead and take a 3-minute break here on the post game. We'll tell you who our player of the game is. And we'll set you up for our next broadcast as they hand me a pizza during the broadcast. Back after 3 minutes on K105.3.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Haynes in the post game here. Chuck Miller Field at Vander Cook Lake High School, and the Jayhawks come up just short of a victory again. 24-20, they lose to the visiting Napoleon Pirates. Pirates made the big play when it really mattered, Brian. It came down to the biggest play of the game is that fumble inside the red zone. If that doesn't happen, who knows? We're celebrating a Vander Cook Lake victory tonight, and it's those, you never know when that one turnover play is going to just come back to haunt you.
And it's so tough because Du Bois made a great run, picked up the first down, and then just lost it on the way down, and there you go.
That's the difference maker tonight. The Napoleon Pirates now move to 2-2 on the year, and 2-1 now in the Cascades Conference. Jayhawks fall to 0-4 and 0-3 in the league. Vander Cook Lake doesn't have it much easier next week. They'll head out to Manchester. Tough to win on the road in Manchester. Even if it feels like the program's not the same juggernaut that it always was, they had a big win tonight in impressive fashion, and it looks like they'll be favorites in that game. But the Jayhawks, maybe with a little more personnel, maybe you did some things right, something to build on tonight, and you go down and shock Manchester. Yeah. On the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen right now that in the Cascades Conference, outside of perhaps Grass Lake, I don't know that there's a dominating team, so you got to feel like every time you take the field, you at least have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Vander Cook, who's a little bit undermanned, not many players and not a super explosive offense, things have to go right. You can't afford to turn the ball over. You can't afford to get the silly penalties. And today we did see a couple turnovers that ended up being the deciding factor tonight.
Meanwhile, Napoleon with the win, got to feel pretty good about being 2-1 in the league this year. And I think you feel pretty good about going over to Hanover Horton next week and thinking you might be able to come away with a win. It's not going to be easy. Again, you're on the road anytime the Cascades Conference. It's tough. But Hanover Horton's been playing well this year at times, and I think they'll look to challenge this Pirates team on the road at home.
Yeah, and if you're Napoleon, this is your second win in a nice close game. So, hey, when you're in the middle of a ball game and it's a tight game, you get to tell your kids, hey, we've been here. We're 2-0 in these tight games. Let's make it another one, and good positive vibes.
And it was some big play action tonight for the Pirates. They got them to the victory. A huge play with the long passing touchdown. And that's McCrum to Schneider, right?
Yeah, yep.
And so our player of the game tonight, I'm going to make it I'm going to go ahead and go over it. We didn't discuss it, but I'm going to give it to Tyler Schneider.
Yeah, I feel that's fitting. Played some good D as well, good in special teams, made a couple big catches. I think that's a fitting player.
And kudos again to both offensive lines as well. Both running games were pretty consistent. Not a lot of plays stopped for losses. And you pointed out a couple times where you could really see that these offensive lines were working hard to block and spring those run plays.
Yeah, on an 80-degree night, when you're a 200-plus pound high school kid, having to play both ways, defense, offense, even special teams, you got to tip your hat to those guys.
Yeah, and really nice night of football, fun night of football. And really, if you like high school football, this is the kind of game that you want to go out and see when you do play. So congratulations again to the Napoleon Pirates on the 24-20 victory, and Vander Cook Lake, gosh, I hope better luck next week. I really, you know, I wish them the best. It's another one of those programs that I think is on the rise. And as we mentioned early on, young, real young team. You got a lot of juniors and several sophomores, and even you see the number 9 showing up here on the grade list a handful of times, and that's real uncommon in the area to have more than a couple of freshmen, and a lot of them were seeing time on the field too.
Yeah, the difference between a 14-year-old boy and an 18-year-old boy is quite a bit of difference. So, yep, Vander Cook has some good times ahead of him, I believe.
Looks that way. So, congrats to Coach Shell and the Pirates. Our next broadcast, we're going to Grass Lake. Michigan Center Cardinals, our first broadcast of the Cardinals. Of course, both of us, Michigan Center alum, will have to do our best to remain unbiased, impartial.
Yeah, well, you know, before the season started, we had that game kind of circled as this was going to be a huge Cascades game, but I think Michigan Center looked like they went down to Addison again tonight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Coach Allen's going to have to get the troops kind of fired up and see if he can't come up with a game plan to stop that Grass Lake team who's just kind of running through people right now.
And that's another, you know, we talk about Steve Wolven as a nice guy. Randy Cole's another one of those, just one of the nicest people I've met. And he always downplays how good the team is. I always ask him, you know, how do you guys look this year? You know, we're pretty good. We could be pretty good. We got these holes. And I guess that's probably the attitude of a coach, always looking at what he needs to fix rather than what's going great. But I look forward to that matchup. And, yeah, what was our last score check-in from that Michigan Center-Addison game? So, like 62-32 or something. Addison with a scoring outburst. They may be the only ones right now who look like they have a shot at taking down Grass Lake, but we'll see if the Cardinals can get it done a week from now. That's our K105.3 football frenzy game. And, of course, come out to Grass Lake before the game. Set up for a chance to win $1,053 with our Fall into Cash contest at all of our tailgates this year. And if nothing else, you'll qualify. You'll get invited to that qualifiers party at the Hunt Club and, you know, get some deer ears and some Wiley potato. And
will you be there? Signing autographs?
I don't know about autographs. You know what I'll be down there doing? Ski ball, ice ball, whatever they call it. But yeah, I'll be spending quarters in the arcade trying to win. The last time I was there, I got a light up tambourine.
Oh,
it's only like 50 tickets.
But that's not like the cheerleader or the
fire. No fire.
Oh, okay, because the fire was impressive. I want to see you do the fire batons.
Yeah, it's. That'll never happen, by the way, because I also don't want to be on fire. And that with those girls were twirling, they had long hair, and it was just out. Like, all it would take is a momentary. I saw my niece try to blow a birthday candle to caught her hair on fire. Why would you want to have a flaming baton? That's what makes it so impressive. And when it's starting to get later in the year, so it gets dark at the games a little sooner. And, things like those fire batons. It was a great night for high school football here at Vander Cook Lake. Small town, high school football doesn't get much better than what we saw tonight. 24-20 the final. The Jayhawks beat the Napoleon Pirates. For Mike Reed in studio, putting in a long day's work today, Brian Haynes, I'm Steve Boyle. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to tonight's game on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3. This evening's contest has been brought to you in part by Brooklyn Plumbing, Heating, and AC, Collins Brothers Floor Covering, County National Bank, Columbia School District, Summit Orthodontics, the Jackson YMCA, Jackson Public Schools, Northwest Community Schools, Able Heating and Cooling, The Hunt Club, Stone's One Stop Auto Shop, Hills Heart of the Lakes Golf Course, Your Premier Properties, Meckley Flavor Fruit Farms, Brembo, Andy's Pizza, The Store, Double Chiropractic, Trips Auto Shop, Trips Ceramic Pro, East Jackson Community Schools, Minuteman Sewer and Drain, Kevin Lamar, Charles Schwab, Penn Chiropractic, Midwest Vehicle Group. We now return to regular scheduled programming on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.